Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The U.S. FDA has approved the first pharmaceutical with an active ingredient derived from marijuana. Does the approval open the door for other CBD-derived medications? What about the side effects? How should patients look at the science when making their own healthcare decisions? Dr. Dan Heineman is Vice President and Medical Officer for Sanford Health. He joins us now for a little perspective on the topic of CBD and medications. Dr. Heineman, thanks for coming back. Thanks for being
here. You're welcome. Yeah, this will be interesting.
It's an interesting thing to sort of read, the articles and conversations that people are having about this. How significant is this first FDA approval of a CBD-based medicine?
Well, if you have a child that suffers from intractable seizures, it's a big deal because this has been shown to be helpful in Dravet's and Gestalt, and I'm blanking on the second half of the name of this syndrome. But these are intractable seizures in children, and it's been shown to be effective and helpful. So I think that's what many parents have been waiting for, a legal version of CBD oil that they can now give to their children to help with these seizures.
Once we get the approval, and I checked with the South Dakota Attorney General's office, and they're waiting for guidance from the DEA on a federal level to find out what happens next with rescheduling and reclassification.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that so we can fully understand what happens next now the FDA has said this medication.
Well, this medication has been developed by a British pharmaceutical company, and they've extracted cannabidiol, or CBD, from the marijuana plant. And it's purified CBD oil. So it's been gone through the FDA approval process. There's been studies. It's been shown to be effective. It's been shown to be safe and significantly harm-free. But there's never any 100% guarantees. The issue behind this is, however, anything derived from marijuana is in what's called Schedule 1. It's the DEA has scheduled medications for about 40 years. It goes back quite a ways. We have five schedules. Scheduled one are things like LSD, cocaine, marijuana, and they are drugs that have been shown to have no medical benefit. And they're potent medications, hallucinogenics, etc. They are not able to be prescribed. You cannot get at those drugs. Even a physician cannot prescribe them. In fact, even research with these drugs is limited because it requires governmental approval to do that. So now that it's been approved, it needs to go to the DEA to be rescheduled so that it can be prescribed. What I've read is that it'll probably be scheduled to a Schedule 4 or 5, which is where other seizure medications are located. Schedule 2 drugs are like fentanyl, morphine. Schedule 3 are like codeine, Tylenol with codeine. Schedule 4, you get into some of the antidepressants, and then Schedule 5 are many of the other drugs. So it does need to be reclassified before it can be prescribed by physicians.
How long does that? So the FDA research was fast-tracked, in quotations. I don't know exactly how long.
It still took several years to get that through the process.
So does it take several years for the DEA?
No, the DEA can do this rather quickly. And I know that South Dakota has done some of that work already. And I think they're expecting the DEA to do something within the next 30 to 60 days, could even be sooner, and they can reschedule and reclassify this medication. Once that's done, that opens the door for clinicians then to prescribe it.
How does a doctor look at, if you are a physician and you have patients, that you're serving right now, you're paying close attention to this. Is it as easy as getting out the prescription pad once the DEA does its rescheduling?
It is. Most of these patients, though, are going to be seen by, since these are children with epilepsy, severe seizure disorders or a severe form of epilepsy, most likely these will be seen by subspecialists in epileptologists or pediatric neurologists or in general neurologists. Your primary care physician is not going to be prescribing this medication for these seizures. They're just too complicated. And these patients are already on maximum doses of other seizure medications. Now, with this medication, they may be able to reduce the other seizure meds, and these seizure meds all have side effects. They affect ability to think and to walk and to act normally, if you will. However, so do the seizures cause problems for these children as well. So,
for the people who are dealing with children who have these conditions and who are criticizing this new medication, saying either it's going to be too expensive, or there are more, as they would say, natural ways. They're concerned that it's been chemically changed, beyond its plant derivative. Put that into context for us from a scientific perspective.
From what I understand, in the way that this medication was developed, the CBD was extracted from the marijuana plant, cannabis plant. So they have extracted the CBD, which has been found to be the active ingredient that helps children with seizures. There are something like 400 different identifiable compounds in the cannabis plant. And everybody's familiar with THC or tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the one that gives the euphoria and the high, if you will, from using marijuana, either eating it or smoking it or however you want to ingest it. But this has been extracted. It's not been modified. It's not a synthetic form of CBD, because we've had synthetic CBD and synthetic THC drugs called Marinol and some others around for treating nausea and appetite stimulants, but they are synthetic. They are man-made molecules that mimic the naturally occurring molecules. Now, there will not be the other active ingredients that are found in the cannabis plant in this particular medication. It's been extracted. And that's one of the reasons why the FDA and the DEA will consider releasing it and reclassifying it, because it's purified.
And then is it added to other things? I mean, break down the chemistry a little bit for us. What else is in this? It's not pure CBD oil.
It's pure CBD. It's pure CBD. As pure as I believe they can get it by extracting it. And that's the active ingredient that's been shown to modify these seizures in these children with seizure disorders. So it is not like smoking or eating cannabis, because it will just be the CBD. So you don't get the euphoria or the high from using this medication. Much like many of the other plant-derived medicines that are in medicine today, opium is the derivative for morphine in some of our pain medications. Cocaine is the basis for much of some of our anesthetics. Aspirin comes from the bark of trees. It's N-acetyl salicylic acid, which was found in the bark of trees. They noticed people chewing this bark seemed to have pain relief, and so it was identified as the active ingredient. So plant-based medications have been around since man began chewing on plants.
Why? What's the expense going to be? How expensive is a drug like this projected to be? Do you have any
idea? I've seen figures in the $2,000 to $3,000 month range. Because it is the company that's developed this has gone through all of this FDA approval process. It's not going to be used widely. I mean, this isn't going to be like in everybody's medicine
cabinet. It's not an aspirin bottle.
Yeah. Right. And so the old argument that they've got to recover their investment in research, the FDA process, even though it was shortened, and all of that will, the cost will need to be recovered. And so it will cost and it will be expensive. And whether insurance pays for it or not yet will be yet to be determined.
Why so many side effects? When we look at the potential side effects of this drug, where does that come from? Is that coming from the CBD itself, CBD oil?
It's probably, let's be honest, we've not seen this drug in large-scale human usage for a long time. We get drugs released and studied by the FDA and then released, and they study these drugs in maybe 100,000 people. Now, when you put it out and 1 million people or 2 million people take it, the little idiosyncrasies that each individual person has and the way they react to a medication starts to become apparent. We've had drugs that were found to be safe in the FDA trials, but when they were released for general use after a couple of years and lots of untoward events happening, the FDA pulled those drugs. And so we've had drugs that have been out and used and effective, pulled because of unforeseen side effects. And so I think this will be probably purer than if you were using cannabis plant-based products. But we'll just have to see how each individual, plus the other problems for these children, they're on a myriad of other medications, and the interactions between those medications we're yet to find. And that's been part of the studies. But again, when you use it in a widespread population, things will pop up.
Let's close with this, and that's advice to, you know, parents, patients, physicians. What do you think some of those conversations between you and your specialist should be?
I think it's a shared decision making. I think you can never go wrong with having that shared conversation. And the clinician will outline the experience that's been seen, the potential side effects, what we might expect, and then the parents of that child need to make a decision with their clinician. Okay, we understand the risks. We're willing to attempt and to try this because we believe that this may be effective for our child. So have an open and honest conversation with your primary source of care, as well as the specialty physician who will be working with your primary doctor on this issue, because all of those minds working together, I think, will give one a better decision. And ultimately, a shared decision is a better decision.
And we wait for DEA guidance as far as other products that have CBD
Correct.
In them.
Right.
All right. Dan Heineman, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Dan Heineman is Vice President and Medical Officer for Sanford Health.